according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. That's one sentence. Paul, huh? Well, at least from, and he himself gave some to the apostles, everything after that, one sentence. Wow. So there's a lot in there. I mean, there's a whole lot to unpack. And I know, like, reading the New King James, like I just did, sometimes it can be a little choppy and hard to follow along, okay? So we're going to take it piece by piece, not all of it, but some of it, and look at this today, okay? First off, I want to point out something interesting. And that would be this. In verse 7, it says this: "But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift." Each one of us have received some grace or some gift from Jesus. Every single person in the body of Christ has something put inside of them by Jesus. Something to give. And I find it interesting that it actually says according to the measure of Christ's gift. So the gift that's been put inside each one of you is according to the measure of Christ's gift. I don't know exactly what that means in the spirit, but I know it's got to be big. If it's according to the measure of what was in him, it's like, wow, that kind of stuff's been put in you. And another thing I notice as I read this is this thing. When God puts something in you, the gift he gives you isn't actually for you. If you look at this, it says this, that he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Why? For the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So these gifts are given not for that individual, but for the equipping of the saints, for the building up of the church. And in 1 Corinthians 12:7, which also talks about the body and the different gifts, Paul opens up 1 Corinthians 12 saying, "I don't want you to be ignorant of spiritual gifts." And then he goes on to talk about others, these different gifts. And in verse 7 of 1 Corinthians 12, Paul says this. I'll turn to it so I quote it right. "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all." In other words, again, this idea that the manifestation of the Spirit in and through a person, it's not for them. It's for everyone else. It's to benefit everyone else. When God gives you something, it's actually for you to give it away, to benefit those around you. What did the disciples say when they were being questioned in Acts 4? It says, "We can't help but speak about what we've seen and heard. We can't help but give away what we've experienced." And there's this thing, you know, the culture we grow up in, it trains us to have this kind of self-centered, consumerist approach to life. Do you guys agree with that? It teaches you to take, to receive. You need this, you need that, you deserve this, you deserve that. But the kingdom is this. Jesus says it's better to give than to receive. And what he puts inside of us every time, I really believe this, that, I shouldn't say every time, but when God puts something into a person's life, it is rarely just for them. It's for those around. Even our money, I'll even say that, even our money. Or better, should I say, his money. Even the money that comes into our, you know, our care. Is it just for us? I don't think so. Right? I remember, this is a bit of a rabbit trail, but I'll share it. I remember reading this book by Lauren Cunningham. It's called Making Jesus Lord. And he talks about Jesus being Lord in our finances. And he refers to this really wealthy guy he knew who was just extremely generous with the finances God had given him. And the guy made this statement. He said, "It's not so much about how much of my money I give to God. It's about how much of God's money I keep for myself." And I remember reading that being like, oh man, that's such a good flip of perspective, right? Anyway, that is a rabbit trail, but I'm just using it to say even the finances God gives us, it's not just for us. It's to affect those around us. It's to bless those around us. And I think oftentimes, us as people, our role in the body of Christ, we're like UPS delivery men. God gives us something, but what he gives to us, it's not for us. That UPS guy knows that the packages and parcels within his truck, they're not for him. And if he was just receiving this stuff all the time and filling up his truck, he wouldn't be a very good UPS delivery man. He wouldn't be fulfilling his purpose very well. And not only that, but by keeping the parcels coming into his truck, he would actually be hindering other people and other businesses from going about doing what they're supposed to be doing because they're not receiving what they're supposed to be receiving from this guy, right? And eventually his vehicle's probably going to burn out and die out because it's too much weight, whatever, right? You could just carry on this analogy for a little while, but we'll stop there. And it's this idea that I really feel that when we are in the body and God's putting stuff in us, we're receiving stuff, we're simply like UPS delivery men. We're getting stuff that's actually for other people to give away, right? And that actually I do believe that we can't properly function as the body, as he's designed us to, if we're not giving what we've received. If we don't take what we've received and give it away, we're actually hindering the body of Christ from being all that it can be. I actually believe that our destinies, they're intertwined and interdependent upon one another. They say this, that the level of our success, it can actually be measured by the health of those around us. Say it again, the measure of our success, the level of our success, sorry, can be measured by the health of those around us. That there's such this connection that happens in this thing called the body of Christ. That everything that we get is to give away, and everyone we're connected to is actually benefiting from that. We'll look at that in a moment here. Because what does Paul say in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12? He says that we're one body made up of many members, right? We're this unit made up of different parts. But this unit called the body, it only works when every part does its part, does its share. Ephesians 4:16 said it this way. Where'd it go? Flipped a page. In verse 15 even it says, speaking the truth in love, we may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. And then verse 16, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes the growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. There's this connection. It says that every joint supplies. Every one of us are a joint, a place of connection to the body, and every one of us have something to supply to the body. And it says that by the effective working by which every part does its share, this causes the growth of the body. That everybody coming in and doing their part is actually causing growth to the body. And you know, like if you look at an actual physical body, right? If certain parts of the body aren't functioning the way they're designed to, what starts to happen? Other parts of the body try to compensate, right? Like anybody ever have a hip injury and next thing you know, your back starts hurting, right? Because your back muscles, they're trying to make up for whatever's going on over here. And next thing you know, your back starts having problems. And as these parts of the body are trying to compensate for the parts that aren't functioning right, those compensating parts of the body, they start to burn out because they're trying to do things that they aren't designed to do, weren't meant to do, right? And it's not a sustainable way of doing things. And there's churches around that they operate on a few individuals, their labor. Or even some churches, you'll go and you'll see there's just the pastor leader guy and he's playing the guitar, he's doing the announcements, he's preaching, he's greeting, you know what I mean? Like he's doing the whole thing. It's not sustainable, is it? Those kind of situations set up people for inevitable burnout and crisis, and it's not at all a sustainable model. But on the flip side of that, there is something amazing and dynamic that can happen when a community, when a body comes together, and we all go, here's what I can bring. Well, here's what, you know, you ever had a potluck, and everybody's like, well, I can bring this, and it can be amazing, And I've been in some not so good potlucks too, but but it can be really good, you know, if people bring their best. And I say, you know, to carry on this idea of thought, everybody's tracking with me, right? Are we tracking together? I hope so. Tell us, and I experienced something in our home where, you know, we got four kids, now we got a puppy in the mix, and there's a lot to do. And I began to see, both of us, Telson and I began to see how, man, we were doing everything. And in our doing everything, I realized I'm blind to the ability of my children. They can take out the trash. They can empty the dishwasher. They can vacuum their floors. They can, you know, I'm like, hey, this is getting good, right? Like, and there's something that'll happen if Telson and I just try to do it all the time. Again, we're going to burn out. We can't sustain that. And actually, by doing it all and not delegating responsibility to our kids, we're actually, you know, slowing down, impeding the process of maturity in our kids' lives. Their growth and development is being hindered by us trying to do everything ourselves. And again, on the flip of that, when we delegate to them, when we say, here, you can do this, you can do that, all of a sudden, there's a maturity that begins to happen. All of a sudden, instead of us being worn out, we're finding our capacity to accomplish is growing. Our ability to do more is actually growing because we are coming together as a team and as a unit to do what needs to be done, right? I believe that this is a really healthy growth strategy that God gives. People have kids and disciple those kids who then have kids and disciple those kids who then have more kids and they disciple those kids, and you know, on and on it goes. And actually, this is another little rabbit trail, but I think that this is one of God's dynamic strategies he's put on the earth for discipleship, is the family unit. You know, our churches can work together like that household. Now, the difference is I'm the parent of these four children, and I can go clean the room, do this, that, but, you know, when you're operating together as a church, you're not going to be barking out orders to everybody. It's more about people realizing what is in them. What can I bring? What can I give? Even in the same, I love it when my kids just do what they see needs to be done. I mean, that's way better than me being like, hey, can you do this or that, right? And in a healthy situation, you know, where it's this idea of people having children that have children, et cetera, disciples make disciples that make disciples that make disciples. That's healthy. Churches plant churches that plant churches that plant churches that plant churches. That's healthy. I mean, there are some people out there, you like having lots of kids and want to have lots of kids, but I know for me, I don't think it would be healthy for me to be in my 70s and like still tell us you're not having kids. That doesn't sound healthy to me. I'm good with four. And there's something a lot healthier about us having our share of kids and then them having their share of kids. And that'll multiply way faster than Telsey and I trying to have all the kids. You guys, I know it's a weird analogy maybe, okay? But this is like the body. You know, you can have one person out there trying to reach all the lost and disciple all the people, but this is going to happen way faster and way more effectively as each part does its share. As we realize, hey, I've got a gift. A big gift. It says it's according to the measure of Christ's gift. I've got something to give. And here's one thing that's struck me for a while now. It's like Jesus said, go make disciples. Well, if I'm not making disciples, then I'm not a disciple of Jesus. Making disciples is part of the criteria of being a disciple of Jesus. I'll say it this way. Maybe we're not being very good disciples. We're still disciples. Because there are things, you know, that Jesus commanded, all sorts of stuff. And I bet you if I went through the list of my life, I'm falling short on a handful of places. More than a handful, maybe. More than my hands could hold, maybe. But there's, you know, you get what I'm saying. It's part of following him. It's part of responding to the call. And actually, you know, the growth and the maturity I believe that God has planned for each one of us, it happens in the doing what he's called us to do. It said that thing, right, in verse 16 of Ephesians 4, that how every part doing its share actually leads to the growth of the body. And every part doing its share is really the only way the church can fulfill its purpose on the earth. And I believe it's actually the only way to real maturity developing in our own lives. I made this statement to a few people lately that it's concerning to me when I look at how much time and energy and resource we pour in the church to just the communication of information and teaching. And it's not that there's not a place for that, but if I compare the amount of energy and resource put into communicating information, like I'm doing right here, right now, and I compare it to the amount of energy and resource put into actually doing the word, doing what Jesus calls us to do, it's like, okay, something's flipped here, you know? We go, let's start a group for this, and we go, okay, you know, let's find a book to study together. Now, I want to slow down here and say, obviously I believe in reading books and studying stuff together. Obviously I believe in preaching. I wouldn't be standing here today if I didn't think that there was a place for that. There's absolutely a place for it. But there's got to be application. There's got to be going out. And now, what does that look like in my life? How do I do that? How do I give that away? For instance, anybody remember Torben Sodengard? He came here a while ago, a year and a half ago, actually almost 2 years ago now. And he had this great illustration. He'd say, you know, what if I go to my kids and I say, hey, clean your room. And they come to me and they go, Dad, we memorized what you said. Oh, yeah? Yeah, clean your room. Did you? No, we didn't clean our room. Okay, go clean your room. And then they come back, Dad, we figured out how to say it in Greek and in Hebrew. And he goes, did you clean your room? No. Come back. Dad, we came up with 10 different strategies of how to clean our room. Did you clean your room? No. And it's clean your room, you know? Like, it's just this simple, funny illustration, but very provoking, right? It's like, okay, what does it look like to do the word for us? I remember I still love snowboarding. I don't snowboard as much as I used to, but I remember being a teenager and I would buy the Transworld snowboard magazines like all the time. And every month they had a portion in the magazine where you would like learn step by step how to do a different trick. And you know, I remember reading these things where these guys, these pros are explaining how to do some trick on your snowboard. And when I would go out snowboarding, it was like, that all kind of fell away. There was way more effect in just trying the trick than in, I could read that thing, that page over and over and over again about how to do this trick, but it was never as effective as actually going out and trying to do it. It's the same as, you know, if you want to be a carpenter, an electrician, or whatever, you know, there's classroom time to be had, but there's nothing quite like getting out on the job site, putting a hammer in your hand, and working alongside Jesse DeGeest or wherever, you know, somebody like that, right? Like getting alongside somebody who's doing it and learning firsthand. Actually, you know what I'm saying, right? I could go on and on, but everybody already knows what I'm saying. So there's this verse in Hebrews, Hebrews 5, verse 12 to 14, and the writer says this, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. What I want to point out of there, he's making this statement, right? About being babies versus being mature, about needing milk versus solid food. And he says, solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised. That by reason of use can also be translated, those who through practice have their senses exercised. In other words, there's this maturity again that happens in the doing, in the going about what the word actually says. There is solid food and meat for us to get. The very meat and the solid food we need for maturity that is to be got in the doing. What am I saying? John 4, okay, verse 34. And Jesus, he's been ministering for a long time, and his disciples are saying, hey, Master, you need to eat something, right? Verse 31, his disciples urged him, saying, Rabbi, eat. Jesus says, he says to them, I have food to eat of which you do not know. The disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him anything to eat? In verse 34 of John 4, Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. That there is sustenance, spiritual nutrients in doing the work that Jesus has called us to do. I really believe this, that our growth and maturity and development into who he's called us to be, and our growth, maturity, and development as who we as a body are called to be, is wrapped up in us getting about the Father's business, in getting out and doing what the Word says, in realizing what gift he's put in us to give. And by every joint supplying and every part doing its share, and from that we see the body grow. From that we see the body edified or built up, it says. You know, James says this thing, be doers of the word, not only hearers, right? Jesus in the Great Commission, I love, this is like, whatever. You guys have heard me hack occasionally on the NIV maybe. I love how the NIV says this verse. In Matthew 28 verse 20, he says, talking about making disciples, teaching them to obey what I have commanded you. Part of the Great Commission isn't just to go teach it. Teach people to obey it. Teach people to do it. So again, this idea, disciples who make disciples, who make disciples, who make disciples. Curry Blake, anybody ever hear this guy, Curry Blake? He says, the fastest way, you want to know the fastest way to growth and maturity? Take responsibility for other people. Any parents relate to that? Okay, all of a sudden, you know, you're just about your life, doing your thing, self-centered as anything, and then all of a sudden, there's babies in your life. Things change. You mature real fast, or things get ugly real fast. And there's just something about taking responsibility for other people and discipleship and mentoring and pouring in that will cause you to grow faster than any study book or whatever, you know? I mean, I greatly matured when I became a father. When Telsey and I got involved in the youth ministry, I feel like I grew. When we launched out with Meta Ministry School, I grew. I feel like every time I get the opportunity to come up here and preach, I'm growing. There's something happening inside as you step in and do this stuff. And you know, one of the other cool things, another one of my few rabbit trails here that I have experienced, is that the relational connection that I've experienced in the context of the work of ministry or of missions is far greater than anything I've ever experienced because of a potluck or any other, you know, community facilitating initiative. There's something that has happened. I remember going on these short-term missions trips where you're with these people from other parts of the world that you met them like, and you've only been together for a week. But because you're going about the work of the Father's business together and in the trenches together, shoulder to shoulder, whatever, right? There's just this level of relationship that happens. So we want to grow as a community in relational connection. I tell you what, getting involved in the work of ministry is a huge key to it. Like we have teams developing for the kids ministry right now. And I believe that these teams are going to end up a tight-knit community of people who encourage and strengthen one another as we're going about this, you know, common vision, common purpose. And there's just something significant that happens. The health of us as individual and the health of us as a community is about being good UPS delivery men. Is about knowing, hey, he put something in me that's going to benefit somebody else. And as I find out where I can give it, where I can exercise this thing, you grow. They grow. The body matures. The body connects in deeper ways. Just for the record, if you're interested, the title of the message is The Body. Part one in faith here, believing that there will be a part two. Doing our share. Every part doing its share. There you go. I mean, when I begin to picture, like look just in this room, right? If I begin to picture all of us working together to some common goal and purpose, I'm like, whoa, something huge could happen. That is a force of love and transformation that is intense, as powerful, as dynamic. And I think it's really vital for each one of us here to realize I've got something to give. I've got something that somebody else needs. Might be the ability to make coffee. I need coffee sometimes. But we all have gifts from God that will benefit others where they're at today. So my hope in sharing all this is that we would be inspired to engage on deeper levels. Some may be super engaged and like, hey man, I got a full plate. And others might go, man, where do I fit? Where's my part? Where's my place? And my hope is that God would begin to show each of us what it is we have that benefits the body we're a part of. And ways to express it, ways to give it away. And that as a result, you know, growth, strengthening, edifying, maturity would take place in individuals and in us as a community. Sound good? Why don't we stand? I just want to pray. Can we pray together? What I want to do, I just want to ask God to show us. Show us ways. Give us vision that he has for us. For how we connect. For what part of the body we are. For how we supply what he's given to us. How we do our share. So Jesus, we do ask by your Spirit that you would reveal to us where our connection to the community you've placed us in is. Where that connection lies, where that place of function is. And that we would become, as a community called Life Tree Church, we would become a community that is working together in such dynamic ways that coming to this community wouldn't just be about receiving, it would also be about where do I give. It would be both, that it would all be happening together as this symphony of giving and receiving. In such a way, God, that touches each person here and goes out beyond these walls. That people would be reached, that lost would be saved, that disciples would be made. And that the community you've put us in would be changed because of us loving each other effectively, loving each other in practical ways, serving one another in practical ways. And so God, I ask that you would show us, that you would give us creative ideas, you would give us your wisdom, your strategy on how we build together and how we work together, and that we'd get in the trenches with one another and go after those who don't know you yet, that the lost would be saved, that community would be touched in Jesus' name.